It is, of course, as was mentioned earlier, Father's Day, and we sang some songs about God, our Father. We want to talk a little bit about fathers today and what fathers ought to be. A lot of times on Mother's Day, preachers preach a wonderful sermon about how wonderful mothers are and praise them and honor them for all the wonderful things they do. And then on Father's Day, we jump all over fathers and tell them what they ought to be doing right because they're doing it all wrong. I'm going to try to avoid that today. In spite of the title of this lesson, you may find that it goes a different direction. The passage that was read, of course, is not about a literal physical father. Paul felt much like a father to many of the young Christians and even many of the churches that he had started, that he had preached for, and had converted many in those towns. And he shared the burden that a physical father would have for someone. He cared about them. He loved them deeply. There in 2 Corinthians 12, 14, and 15, even though he wasn't their biological father, he had, in a sense, adopted them as their children. And he was willing, he says, to spend and be spent for you. And that's kind of where a lot of fathers are. There are, you know, we know that not everyone has a good father. Not every father is a good father, just like we know with the mothers, the same situation. But we want to look at what fatherhood itself is and what we ought to think about and be about when it comes to fatherhood. I will mention this before we get too far into it. You may recognize some of the people in some of these pictures. That's what happens when people put their pictures on Facebook, is those pictures get taken by preachers and put into PowerPoint sermons. So if you see some of those, now if you don't see some, you know, if there's something, you say, well, why is that one but not the other one? They were just the first ones I found, and I only needed a certain number of pictures for a certain number of slides, so that's what I found, so that's what I used. They say that the official flower of Father's Day and of fathers is the dandelion. And the reason for that is because the more you trample it, the better it grows. And a lot of fathers, I'm sure, have felt trampled over the years. In our society, in popular culture, on television, in the movies, in stories, we find so often that fatherhood is despised. Fathers are looked down on, they're made fun of, they are the butt of every joke, they are always the dummy that has to be have everything explained to them by the three-year-old in the family. And this is the way that our society, more and more, seems to be portraying might be the accurate word for it, but that's the way we've portrayed fathers. The time of father knows best is long gone, and now it's father knows nothing. Father is just there to be trampled on and spit upon and made fun of, and then, after a generation of us doing that, we now come to the point where it's hard to find a good father, and we wonder why. Well, we shouldn't wonder. We have trampled fatherhood and ground it in the dirt and made it to be a horrible thing, and men are bad and fathers are bad, instead of building fatherhood up and saying, this is what we need to be striving for. These are the kinds of fathers we need. We've been taking the worst of fathers and making them the norm. And this is the example of what fathers are. And that's a sad thing culturally. Now, I know you and I can't change the entire culture in a day or a week or even a year, but what we can do is change our local culture. We can change the culture in our families and among our friends. We can change the way that we talk about fathers and the way that we talk about fatherhood. Again, it doesn't mean that every father is going to be what's right and do what's right. They're not. But even when they do, there are still struggles. I want us to think about what fathers ought to be. And we want to, first of all, realize that fathers ought to be followed. They ought to be followed as they follow Christ. In Ephesians 6:4, Paul says, "And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord." It is interesting that all scripture that refers to rearing children, how children are to be raised, how they're to be taught, how they're to be trained, there is not a single one that addresses mothers individually or as a group. But fathers are addressed. I wonder why. Well, maybe it's because it is somewhat natural tendency for fathers to kind of let the mothers do the raising of the children. They're home with them. I got to go to work. Let them raise them. May have been the attitude of many fathers. And so the Bible makes it clear. Fathers need to be involved in the raising of their children. Fathers, don't provoke your children. You bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Don't throw it all off on your wife. Don't throw it all off on the mother. You take responsibility for it. But you see, the fathers need to be followed by those children. Paul said, "Follow me as I follow Christ," to some of the Christians, but certainly the same should be said by every father. And every child should say, "I'm striving to follow my father, to be like him in every way that he's like Christ." And again, none of us fathers are ever going to be perfectly like Christ. But in the ways that we are, that needs to be the example that is followed. As fathers, we have to be careful where we lead. We have to be sure that we are trying to follow Christ. Because where we lead may very well be where our children wind up. Many times the story has been told of a man going off to do something dangerous. In this one particular case, he went to climb a rock face, a cliff. He was free climbing it. His son, who loved his father and followed his father, tried to climb that cliff as well. But the young son, unable to do the things that his father could do, unable to have the same length of reach, the same strength of grip, after climbing for a while, became tired, could not hold on any longer, and fell. The father said afterwards, "If I had known he was following me, I never would have gone that way." Too many fathers later on in life find that their children have been following them. The old song about little boy blue and the man in the moon. "When you coming home, Dad? I don't know when, but we'll have a good time then." Talking about the cats in the cradle. That song, if you remember that song, as it goes from verse to verse, the father at the beginning doesn't have time for the child. And then later on in life, the father has time for the child and wants to spend time with the child. But now, the child has learned that lesson all too well, and he doesn't have time for the father anymore. It's a sad song, but so often the case. Children, follow your fathers as they follow Christ, but only as they're following Christ. Don't follow them into sin, and don't follow them in learning those bad habits that they may be teaching, even though they may not be intending to do so. You know, fathers ought to be appreciated. In Luke chapter 11, verses 11 through 13, Jesus says to them, "If a son asks for bread from any of you that's a father, will you give him a stone?" Well, maybe on April Fool's Day. That could be fun. But most of the time, no, we'll give him a piece of bread if he's hungry. Or if he asks for a fish, will you give him a snake? Or if he asks for an egg, are you going to give him a scorpion? Xander's got some scorpions downstairs in his room. He has a few not quite pet scorpions that hang out down there. But the fact of the matter is, we know fathers, if they're good fathers, give good things to their children. They give their children what they need, not the bad things that would cause them harm. And so he says, if you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? You know, us fathers, we may not be perfect like God, but fathers do many times find themselves underappreciated for what they do give. They may not always know how best to give or what best to give, but they give the best that they can offer, and they need to be appreciated for that. The story is told of a school teacher who had a couple of children come through her class, and they would brag about their father. They would talk about how wonderful he was. She got the impression he must be 7 feet tall and muscles all over and the most handsome man in the world and the best man in the whole wide world and could do anything. Well, she needed to pay a visit to the house to talk to the parents, and she wanted to meet this father. She got there and he wasn't home yet, but the mother let her in and she just bragged about, oh, what a wonderful man he was and how he was out working hard, and when he finished working he'd come home, but he had to be at work to support the family and how much they appreciated what he did for them, and on and on. And then the door opened and in he walked. And she was shocked to find that he was not a giant. He was just a normal man. In fact, it might have been a little small in stature, might have been a little stooped in the shoulders. He didn't look like a movie star. He was just an average Joe. But because he was appreciated by his family, his eyes lit up when he walked in the door and the children rushed to meet him. And the teacher realized that he was a great man. Maybe not physically, maybe not strong, maybe not tall and handsome like a movie star, but he was a great man. How often do we not appreciate what fathers do? And then we want to realize that fathers ought to be trusted. It's difficult sometimes for us to trust anyone else. In Mark chapter 13 and verse 12, Jesus talks of a time when brother would betray brother and father would betray the son, and the children would rise up against their parents to have them put to death. He was talking, of course, about the persecution of the Christians and how, in spite of their faith in God, there would be some who would not have that faith and they would betray even their own family members, even fathers turning against their sons and sons turning against their fathers. And what a sad thing that is, that that happens sometimes in life. The whole theme of the book of Proverbs is, son, trust me on this. Listen to my wisdom. Learn from me. Trust me. Sometimes we've all trusted the wrong person. Sometimes we've trusted someone and that trust has been betrayed. Of course, as was mentioned in the prayer a little while ago, maybe our father is not trustworthy, but if not, we have a father who is. We can always turn to our Father in heaven, and he will always be trustworthy. But we need to trust our fathers, even at times when it may be difficult. And of course, fathers need to do those things that are trustworthy. But we need to help develop that trusting relationship between father and child. Then we also want to notice that fathers ought to be helped. Now, there are a couple of things that I really notice as I read through the Bible. The first is very obvious. There is a perfect God who is portrayed throughout the Scriptures as our Father. That's a hard standard to live up to. He's perfect in every way. And none of us fathers can ever be like that. We're always going to be come short of that. And anytime somebody says, oh, well, compare him to God, and he doesn't measure up. The other thing that I think about in that as well is, you know, on that side, there's not a perfect mother. It's maybe the closest, maybe somebody could say, well, what about Mary? I mean, she raised the perfect kid, so, ooh, that must have been tough, right? How do you raise the perfect child? So she must have been a pretty special woman, there's no doubt about it. And there are a lot of good examples of godly women who raised their children to be godly in the Bible. It's hard to find examples in the Bible of godly men who were able to raise their children to be godly. That's kind of sad. But it tells us how difficult a task it is and how important a task it is, but also how important it is that we help fathers raise their children. Now, that doesn't mean we raise them for them. It doesn't mean we discipline their children for them. But that we help instead of hindering. We need to be helped by wives, by the children themselves, by other Christians. You know, even God, the perfect Father, had His children fall into sin, didn't He? Adam and Eve still sinned in spite of having a perfect Father. So how much more are our children going to struggle in their quest to be godly people? Of course, our society, again, puts fathers down, mocks fathers. It's interesting. I don't know about this year. I haven't seen any commercials for Father's Day this year. But I know a couple of years ago, many of the Father's Day commercials were about mothers. Okay. That's interesting. I can only imagine if a Mother's Day commercial had been put out about fathers and how great fathers were, I'm sure that would have gone over real well. Our society doesn't help and support the fathers in our world. We need to. As Christians, we need to understand how important fatherhood is and be that helper that they need. In order for a father to be a deacon or an elder, the Bible gives some qualifications there. And in those qualifications are, of course, his wife and how she behaves, and his children and how they behave. That's tough. In 1 Timothy 3, 4 through 5, and verse 12, and in Titus 1, 6, those passages say, if you're going to be qualified, you've got to raise your children right. We need help. We need to help our young fathers to raise those families up so that one day they'll be in that position to be leaders in the church, to be elders. We have a shortage of men who are qualified to be leaders in the church today. And we need to help young men, even before they get married, to be thinking about where they're headed with that. To be thinking about, as they select a wife, what kind of wife she's going to be, what kind of mother she's going to be, whether she's going to help him get to heaven and help him raise a family to get to heaven or not. You know, the second law of thermodynamics basically says if you don't add energy into something, it's going to decay. It's going to deteriorate. For years in our society, we haven't been adding energy into helping fathers. And fatherhood is decaying and just falling to pieces all around us. It needs to be renovated. It needs to be rejuvenated. It needs to be restored. And that needs to start with those of us who believe the Bible and believe how important fatherhood is. In addition to that, fathers ought to be encouraged. Now, some of these pictures I have are actually some grandfathers. We got some grandfathers up here too, because that's an important role. And sometimes, I know some are in that position where grandfather becomes father too, because of problems that have happened in the younger generation, and sometimes there's a single mom, a divorced mom who needs a father figure in that child's life, and a lot of times grandpa winds up being that one. Sometimes it's great-grandpa, even, that winds up in that role. But fathers ought to be encouraged, not discouraged. In 1 John chapter 2 and verses 13 and 14, John says, "I write unto you, fathers, because you have known him that is from the beginning. I write unto you, young men, because you have overcome the wicked one. I write to you, little children, because you have known the Father. I have written to you, fathers, because you have known him that is from the beginning. I've written to you, young men, because you are strong and the word of God abides in you, and you've overcome the wicked one." John tells us how we can be better fathers. Young men, get the word of God in you. It will help strengthen you, and it will help you to overcome the wicked one. We have so many young men who are being trained up to just sit around playing video games all day, even into their 30s and 40s, instead of raising a family, instead of serving God and serving mankind. But our fathers need to be encouraged. They need to have someone that looks up to them. Someone that tries to give them the encouragement that they need to do the things they know they ought to do. Most of us as fathers know kind of what we ought to be doing, but it's tough sometimes. We need somebody to say, "Hey, you can do it. Hey, you need to do it." And we need that word of encouragement like John gives to these fathers and these young men in 1 John chapter 2. You know, I think about how discouraging sometimes it can be a father. Old joke, although maybe not so much of a joke for some, that's told that on Mother's Day, this is the way it works. The kids, the family's got four kids, and all four kids come to Dad and say, "Dad, I need to buy a gift for Mom for Mother's Day. I need $10. Okay. So he gives $10. And then the next one, $10. So $40 later, and of course he's still got to buy Mom a Mother's Day present too. But $40 later, then the kids go pitch their money in together, $40, and they buy Mom something really nice. And of course she's, "Oh, thank you, I love you so much, you're so sweet to spend your money to buy me this." And he knows where that money came from. He knows they didn't save their money to buy it. And then it's coming around toward Father's Day. And they say, "Dad, Father's Day's coming up, we need $20 to buy you a present." "Wait a minute, you spent $40 on Mom, how come I only get $20? "Well, we're going to pitch it all in to get..." So here, and so they get their $20, and they go to the store and they buy a pack of socks, 12 pack of socks, and each of the kids gets two pairs of socks, and they give Dad four pairs of socks, and they keep the other $10 and split it among them. And that's kind of the way Father's Day works sometimes. Fathers need to be encouraged, because there are things that happen that discourage fathers. People will say things about a father, even if he's trying to be a good father. He's working hard. I've known some fathers that were working two or even three jobs to try to support their families, and they were sleeping 4 or 5 hours a night. And then somebody would say, "Well, what kind of father are you? You're not spending enough time with your children." They were just trying to keep a roof over their heads and food on the table. They were doing the best they could do. But they still got slammed for that. We need to be encouraging fathers, helping them out in ways that we can. But then fathers ought to be respected. In Hebrews chapter 12 and verses 9 and 10, it says, "Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence." Notice that word reverence in the King James Version. Shall we not much more be in subjection to the Father of spirits and live? For they, for a few days, disciplined us after their own pleasure, but He for our profit, so that we might be partakers of holiness. Reverence is just one step below worship. He tells children, you need to put your fathers up on a pedestal. You don't worship him, but boy, he's right there underneath. Do we respect our fathers like that? It's interesting, in the Bible, fatherhood was so respected that in the Old Testament, it talks about discipline of children, it talks about a rebellious son. They were going to stone that boy to death because he was rebellious against his father. They said he's a glutton and he's a drunkard. That tells us this wasn't a little 7-year-old. He was already what we would call a grown man, but he was in rebellion against his godly parents. Now we kind of think, well, when you're 18, you know, you get out on your own and you do whatever you want to do. You don't have to do what your parents tell you anymore. That's our society's way of thinking about it. But the Bible teaches us, especially if we've had godly parents, if we've had a godly father, we need to respect that father on into adulthood and further. When I think about this, think about that discipline. The Bible makes it very clear that a father disciplines his children. And it says if you're not being disciplined by God, then he's not your father. And he draws that, you know, a father, if he loves his children, he's going to discipline them. And we need to encourage children to respect their fathers. Sometimes we discourage that. We certainly do in secular society all the time. But we as Christians need to teach young people, respect your father. I know he's not perfect. I know he makes mistakes. I know he yelled at you or whooped you one time when you didn't deserve it. There were probably 5 other times where you did deserve it and you got away with it. I know he's not always right. I know sometimes he does the wrong thing. And sometimes he says, don't do what I did, do what I said. I know. Yeah, sometimes he may even be a little bit hypocritical. But you still respect him because he's your father. He may even be a deadbeat and a bum, but you still need to respect fatherhood, even if that father's not living up to the standard that's there. J.C. Penney, you're probably familiar with that name. When he was a young boy, he got a job working at a grocery store. Well, the guy that ran the grocery store was crooked. And he'd cheat the customers by putting the cheap coffee in with the good coffee and mixing it together and then charging the price of the good coffee. And he came home one day after being at work and his boss teaching him about that, and he was bragging about that to his father. His father, of course, asked, well, how do you think that man would like it if that was done to him? You know, that's the golden rule, isn't it? Do to others as you'd have them do to you. Here was a man who was trying to raise his son right, sent him off to learn to work and learn a good work ethic, and instead, his boss taught him to be crooked and to cheat people. He wasn't being helped. He wasn't being respected. He wasn't being encouraged. The final thing that we want to notice is that fathers ought to be submitted to. That's hard sometimes. I know, especially when you're a teenager, you think you know everything. Oh, I'm sure you do. I know. You know all the things that none of us old people could ever possibly understand because we've never been there. Sure. But you still need to submit to your father, even if you know better than he does, because he's your father. Colossians 3:20 says, children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing to the Lord. Ephesians 6:1-3, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and your mother, This is the first commandment with a promise that it may be well with you and you may live long on the earth. Now I'm going to say something here that is very unpopular in our society today. We're not just talking about the children. Wives need to submit to their husbands to show the proper submission to their children. It doesn't mean that wives are less than their husbands. It doesn't mean that women are less than men. But in every organization, there has to be a chain of command. And it has to be followed or things fall apart. And God established that chain of command. He, of course, is at the top. His son is next. And then the father and the husband and then the mother and then the children are to be in subjection to them. But let me tell you just one story to help you understand how important that is and how much going outside that chain of command can destroy the family unit. This is just an example from a personal experience that I know of. But it enforces what the Scriptures teach. When I was a teenager, I knew a family. It came spring of the year, it was prom time. The father said to his teenage daughter, I think she was about 14 at the time, and there were some older boys that had invited her, wanted her to go to the prom with him, a couple of different boys. But the father had said, no, she's not to go to the prom. Now this lesson's not about the prom and whether you go to the prom or not. That's not even what we're talking about. We're talking about the father's authority here. The father said, she's not to go. Well, the mother decided, yeah, you know, she needs to go. So behind his back, she took the girl and got her prom dress, rented limo, you know, made all the plans, did everything for that young girl to be able to go to that prom that her dad had said, you are not to go to. Now, I know this isn't the case at every prom, and it may not even be the case at every situation where this even happens. But that young girl went to that prom. She lost her virginity that night. She became more and more rebellious as she grew older, to the point that she is, last I knew, wanted by the police. And another friend that we grew up together worked for the sheriff's department. He said, I asked him, I said, have you seen so-and-so? And he said, no. He said, and I hope I don't, because if I see her, we'll have to arrest her. Now, he said, that one thing, it wasn't just one thing, I promise you. The pattern of that mother disrespecting the father and not submitting as a wife to him taught her child not to respect authority and not to submit to authority. Not just of her father, but of the law in general and of God and His authority. We don't realize sometimes how important respect for authority is. And how those little seeds, those little acorns, as they say, grow to be mighty oaks. When we plant those little seeds of rebellion and of, well, I don't have to do what so-and-so says, even if they are supposed to be in a position of authority, that grows. And what was a little seed in one generation can become a mighty oak in the next generation. Fathers need to be fathers. They need to be followed. They need to be appreciated. They need to be trusted. and helped and encouraged and respected and submitted to. Now, obviously, if a father is doing something sinful, we should never submit to that and do that sinful thing. But we need to understand how important fathers are in God's plan. There's a reason that God says that He Himself is our Father. He believes fathers are important. Let's do everything we can to try to restore fatherhood to the place God wants it to be. Not only in our lives and in the way we talk about it, but in the way help our friends, our relatives, our neighbors, and others to bring fathers up to where they ought to be instead of running them down and bringing them down to where Hollywood says they should be. As we close, I just want to encourage you, as you think about Father's Day today and fathers, encourage a father. Help a father. Do something to encourage a child to be more obedient and submit to their father. It's frustrating sometimes when people trying to be nice will undermine fathers, mothers too for that matter. I was at the grocery store, I don't even remember now where or when, sometime in the last couple of years. The girls wanted a bubblegum ball out of the bubblegum machine. But for various reasons, that particular day, I said no. Total stranger comes over with a couple of quarters and puts them in the gumball machine and gets a gumball out and gives it to my children after I've told them no. I know he was trying to be nice. He was probably somebody's grandpa, and maybe his grandkids weren't around, and he saw a couple of little girls that were cute and wanted a gumball, and he thought he'd be helpful and give them one. I get that. I'd like to do that too at some point, you know, when I'm old enough to have grandchildren. I'm old enough now. Some of my friends have grandkids. But, you know, but when I have grandkids. But respect the authority of that parent. The parent said no. You don't know why the parent said no. At least ask, would it be okay if I bought him a gumball? Don't just go do it and give it to him. Then dad's really going to have to be the bad guy if he takes that gumball away from them after they've got it in their hand. Let's do what we can to support fatherhood and encourage obedience and submission and respect. If you're here and perhaps you've run parents down, run fathers down, perhaps you've been rebellious to your own parents, perhaps you've been rebellious to your Father God. If you need to repent for any reason, if you need to come confessing Jesus as the Son of God based on your belief in Him and repenting of your sin, confessing Him and then being buried with Him in baptism to wash your sins away. If you have any need to respond to God's invitation at this time, please come as we stand and as we sing.